Hey everyone, happy Wednesday. Well, at least it's Wednesday right now as I'm recording this. So today I want to talk about fasting because it came up on last episode. I had Genova on and she's on her weight loss journey. And she mentioned that intermittent fasting specifically is one of the strategies she's basically using to lose weight. So we talked about it a little bit on that episode, but I was just thinking, you know, this is such a big topic. I think I should just do a whole episode on it. And it's definitely one of the top questions I get asked by my clients of whether they should be doing it or not and how to do it. So, all right. So first of all, we have to talk about what fasting actually is, because I am a big fan of fasting, but done in a specific way. So if you're thinking like you already have an idea of what fasting is, I just want you to be open to maybe learning something today, just because I don't want you to have an idea of what fasting is and you're hearing me say I'm a fan of it and you think that maybe what you're doing is good and it might actually not be the best way you can do it. So I just want you to listen closely just so you're not misunderstanding what fasting is. So there's really two states or modes, whatever you want to call it, that the body can be functioning in. So you can either be in a fasting state or a fasting mode. And basically that's where you're not consuming any food. And you're also not digesting a lot of food as well, because that takes a lot of energy too. So it's not like you stop eating and all of a sudden you're fasting, because a lot of work still has to be done after that meal. So that's one mode, the fasting mode. And then the other mode is eating. So that's where you're consuming food. And because digesting food takes so long, you know, you're not really fasting in between meals. Like for example, between lunch and dinner, and maybe you have a snack in between there, that whole phase, that's all eating, even though you're not eating every second. That's just because after you're digesting those meals, you're not really considered fasting at that point. So a good way to kind of break this down and to understand this is that there's 24 hours in the day. So a certain amount of hours of that day you're going to be eating and a certain amount are going to be fasting. So just to get an idea of what the average person or the average American is doing, who's not really typically following anything, this is just average statistics. So the average American is eating over about a 15-hour window. So that means maybe they're getting up at 5 or 6 a.m. and they're having maybe their coffee with milk and sugar in the morning, or they're having a bagel on the way to work, and then they're eating throughout the rest of the day. So maybe they have breakfast around 6 a.m. Or their coffee with milk and sugar, whatever, around 6 a.m. And then they're eating throughout the day and they come home, they have dinner, and then they're watching TV. Then maybe they have like a snack at like 8:30 or something. Maybe they're kind of done eating by 9 o'clock. So that 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So that's 15 hours right there. So that leaves 9 hours of the day to be fasting. So they go to bed, or maybe they're done eating by 9, and then it doesn't matter if they go to bed or not, whatever. So then eventually they go to bed and they wake up the next day and they do it all over again. And then they eat at 6 a.m. So that gives them a 9-hour fasting window. But as I was just talking about, we do use the term fasting as, okay, when you're not eating, just to break down the hours of the day. So I can say, okay, the average American eats over 15 hours and they fast for 9 hours. So we are going to use those terms, but I want you to remember that, like I said, just because you stop eating, you still have a lot of food to digest. So when we really look at this and what studies like really look at is that although you're done eating at 9, you have a snack at 9, you still have to digest and absorb your dinner and your snack. That's going to take a few hours. That can take 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, depending on what type of food you're eating. So you're really only giving your body 2, 3, 4, you know, maybe 5 hours in a true fasting state, where your body can do all the things that it needs to do in a fasting state. Okay, so that leads me to my next point. So why is the fasting mode or the fasting state so important? It's because that your body has to do certain things that it can only do when you are in a fasting state. So that's really important to remember. So I'm going to teach you a word here. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't. It's called autophagy, and it's spelled A-U-T-O, auto, and then P-H-A-G-Y, phagy, whatever you want to call it. Autophagy is what we call it. but it basically means self-eating. And it's kind of to describe to you the process of the body's own recycle system and cleaning system, basically. So what happens is all day long, we're building up stuff in our body and as we eat. And that's happening in our digestive system, right? And then we kind of clean that out by going to the bathroom. But we're also talking about on a cellular level. So inside your cells, you're actually building a bunch of gunk up. And that's okay because the body has a process to kind of remove that and flush that out and basically take out the trash. Your cells do have a system. Just think of it like, think of a little cell and it has like a little trash barrel and you're filling it up all day. And then the cleaners come by and they pick it up and they take it out. And you're all clean and you're ready for the next day. So a good way to kind of think of this and why you do need more fasting hours is think of like a hotel or a convention center. And maybe they have a party all day long, you know, till about 7 p.m. at night. And then when the party ends, they bring in a cleaning crew to clean all night. I mean, this is actually what these places do. So you bring in a cleaning crew and maybe they clean till like 5 a.m. because there's every day there's another convention, there's another party. So the next party comes in, the place is all nice and clean, and then they make it a mess all day with their festivities. But the party goes on a little longer and the party goes on till 11 p.m. So the cleaning crew just waits there. The cleaning crew can't go in there and start cleaning while they're still making a mess and still partying. So the cleaning crew gets in there at 11 p.m. and then has to leave at 5 a.m., right? Because the next party is going to come around. So when this keeps happening, when the party keeps going on longer and longer, and the cleaning crew has a shorter amount of time, then the place, the convention, the hotel is going to be a lot dirtier and gunk is going to build up a lot quicker. And the trash is just going to keep piling and piling and piling on. So that's how I want you to think about eating and fasting. Eating, we're building ourselves up, which is good. We need all the nutrients we can get and everything that we need. But if you're doing it over such a long period of time and you're not kind of respecting that cleaning crew hour of basically your body saying, okay, we got all the stuff we need. Now let's throw all the stuff out that we don't need. So this is huge for detoxification. And this is really, you know, when you're seeing things like detox teas and detox supplements, while some of those are actually really great products, if you're not doing this basic mechanism of giving your body enough time to cleanse itself out, then all you're going to be doing is kind of, I don't want to get too detailed with detox, but basically if you're taking a supplement or you're doing things to make toxins go from fat soluble to water soluble, but yet you're never giving your body the time to remove things and put everything together in a trash bag and basically move it out, then you're not really doing the entire process of detox, because detox is not a one-stop shop. It's not, you take a pill and you flush the toxins out. There's two steps to it, really. So, but not to get too into that. Basically what I'm saying is this is probably the most basic level of detoxification. And everything else you do is going to support this, and it's all going to work together. So if you're really cleaning up your diet, you know, if you're buying more organic and you're having less pesticides, because you know that, you know, obviously that's building up, and you're using less plastic, you're using toxin-free sunscreen and hair products, and doing all this stuff, and taking dandelion root tea and more detox stuff, but yet you're only giving your body maybe 5 hours to fast overnight. You're not allowing all those products and all that good effort to really do what they need to do. Yes. So that's that. I hope that makes sense. But the point is that it's just the basic level of detoxification. Now, if you're thinking, okay, well, what does this have to do with weight loss? It is known that the longer we do fast overnight, we do start to kick into fat burning mode. So basically we store glycogen in our liver, which is basically stored carbs, you can think of it. So we eat carbs all day, we're kind of storing it if we're not really using it. And then overnight, we're going to tap into our carb stores to kind of keep us alive all night and keep us going. So once you run out of those carb stores, which happens to us, if we're giving the time to run out, then you're going to tap into breaking down some fat. So this is going to be great if you're already eating great food and you're working out, and then you're going to add a good overnight fast to it where your body can actually burn fat in your sleep, basically, then this is just like put all those things together and your weight loss journey is just going to go a lot more smooth. But if you're eating great, you're working out, but you're eating dinner at 9 and you're getting up maybe to work out and you're even eating at 5 a.m. or something, your smoothie, you're still, while you have the right intentions, you're still burning those carbs overnight and you're never letting your body kind of turn over into that fat burning mode. So that's the other reason why fasting can be great for weight loss as well, is just for the fact of more fat burning. So definitely supports detoxification. I mean, it's the best thing you can do for detoxification. Of course, when you're doing this, you do want to drink a ton of water because, like I said, detox isn't just you do one thing and toxins come out. It's kind of you have to combine everything together. So drinking the water is kind of the vehicle for the toxins to leave, right? Because if you're fasting overnight and all the toxins are kind of in their trash bags, but yet the trash truck doesn't come around, which is kind of like the water, to leave your body, then, you know, then you're still stuck with them. So detox is a complex process, but these are some basic steps that we're kind of talking about today. So I hope that helps kind of clear up, you know, why you should fast. But I think the next thing we need to talk about is the different types, because this is where I see people kind of going wrong. So intermittent fasting is a really popular topic right now. So many people are doing it. They're kind of pairing it with paleo, keto, those types of diets. So the good thing is that intermittent fasting has gotten a lot of people to kind of think about what they're eating, maybe get them off of processed foods and start fasting. So that's a good thing. But the problem with intermittent fasting is a lot of people are, their eating window is really late in the day. So maybe they're starting to eat at noon and they're stopping to eat at 8 p.m. Now, the reason I do not like this and I don't recommend it is because we are most insulin sensitive in the early hours of the day. Now, that does have to do with the amount of time that we've fasted overnight that helps our body kind of metabolize carbs really, really well. But we also have to remind ourselves that at nighttime, we don't metabolize carbs and we don't metabolize just food in general really well. And when we're eating at night, we're actually blocking the production of melatonin, which is what's going to help us sleep. So when I do fasting and when I recommend fasting, I really, you know, obviously it depends on each client and it depends on their lifestyle and their schedule and all that, but we really want to push it to the earliest part of the day as possible. So starting to eat as early as possible, stopping to eat as early as possible. So for example, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So that means you'd be done eating by 6 p.m. But I would say, that just so you know, so I talked about intermittent fasting, the one that I'm talking about, which is kind of earlier in the day, that's usually referred to as time restricted eating. There's been a lot of research on that in animals and in humans as well. It's huge. It's amazing. It's going to be recommended, in diabetes treatment, and just obesity. And it's just showing some amazing results, even sleep. It really helps sleep. So if you're struggling with that, I would definitely try it. So time-restricted eating is usually what I do recommend. But if you're feeling like overwhelmed listening to this and you're thinking, because a lot of people hear about intermittent fasting, they've heard someone that's done it and they've had great results, but they're like, oh crap, I can't eat for just 8 hours a day. Like my schedule's like this and it's not going to work for me. So then they think fasting just doesn't work for them at all. But that's not true. So like I said, the average American eats over a 15-hour eating window. They have found that just a 12-hour eating window, which really isn't that hard, that does have benefits. Okay, so that would mean eating breakfast at 7 and being done eating by 7 p.m. So maybe having dinner at 6 or 6:30. That is a lot easier for people to kind of start with. And you can even, I mean, if your lifestyle is that's all it's going to allow you, that is still better than a 13 to 14 or a 15-hour eating window. So that's what I would say today. For the next couple days, keep in mind, look at the clock, see when you're eating, how big your eating window is, and see if you can just get to that 12. And it can be, you know, 6 to 6, 7 to 7. That's, you know, as late as I like to push it, but 8 to 8 would be, I would say, the latest. And just start with that and see if you notice a difference. And maybe you do a few weeks of that and you're feeling more confident and you want to do an 11-hour eating window. So you can go slow, but the point I want to get across is that just because someone's doing an 8-hour window and a 16-hour fasting window, which is really hard to do, and I really don't even recommend that. Just because you can't do that does not mean that you can't benefit from fasting. Because like I said, this is a basic mechanism for detox. And your body is doing all the things anyway when you are fasting, even if it's just for 3, 4, 5, you know, 6 hours a night. So all you need to do is just maybe shorten the eating window just a little bit, you know, just to 12 hours. So that's what I'm going to recommend. If you have questions or comments about this, then I'm going to put an Instagram post about this. So if you could just leave it there on the comment on my post, or you can always email me, samantha@samanthaotool.com. And that's about it. I hope that was helpful. And if you have topics that you want me to cover on here, then just let me know. For next week, I believe I'm going to be bringing on a hypothyroid specialist, which I think will be really awesome because a lot of women come to me with hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. So we're going to be going over that. So a lot of good stuff coming to the podcast, but I really want to hear what you guys want as well. So like I said, just email me or you can always reach out to me on Instagram. It's @SamanthaOtool_RD. So you can just find me there and I'll talk to you guys soon.